I have something very important in this basket. It's a vital necessity. You can see what sort of size it's going to be. You may have guessed by now. This is something we usually take for granted. Through much of the world, this is the most basic of foods. The Bible tells us not to forget God's goodness to us. So today we've been thanking him for what he provides for us, like this and this. In our Bible reading today, we heard the account of how the Lord Jesus fed the people miraculously after they'd been out in the countryside listening to his teaching. And what a wonderful miracle that was. Indeed, it's the only miracle which is recorded in all four gospel accounts of his life on earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A boy was the only one who had brought a picnic. He had five small barley loaves, the poor people's bread, and two small fish. Most of our bread is made from wheat. We grow barley chiefly for animal food, as they did then. The boy's loaves would be like a bap, just like this, or smaller, for his lunch and perhaps a snack later on. I presume a wise mother had sent him off with them. And Jesus took them. He gave thanks. It's always good to give thanks to God before a meal. Thanks for what he has provided for us. And Jesus then transformed the bread and the fish. The five small loaves and the two small fish became food enough for 5,000 men and however many women and children there were there as well. What a miracle. What a transformation. Even the bits left over filled 12 basketfuls. It showed Jesus' power to transform. We'll return to that later. No wonder the crowds wanted more. Next day they were looking for Jesus again, and eventually they found him. They said, as we heard, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" What they meant was, "You gave us the slip. We've been looking for you everywhere." Jesus didn't answer their question. There was no point in him telling how he had got there. Instead, he replied, "You're looking for another free meal, aren't you?" Well, that's my translation. What it actually says in the Bible is he answered, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." And then Jesus said something to challenge them. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life." Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. In other words, don't work for food that perishes, but for the food which keeps forever. The Lord Jesus often used overstatement to make his point. He's recorded as saying on another occasion that people should pull out their eyes if through them they saw things which caused them to think wrong thoughts. He simply meant that we should take great care not to look at such things. He said another time that if we're going to follow him, we must hate our nearest and dearest. He didn't mean that we should really hate them. He meant that our love for him must be much greater than our love for our nearest and dearest. He made points by deliberate overstatement so that people would remember his teaching. On this occasion, he didn't mean that people should work in order to earn bread, to sustain their physical lives on earth. He meant that we should work harder than that to find eternal food, spiritual food, which will nourish us spiritually, which will give us spiritual and eternal life. Here on earth, we're apt to concentrate on sustaining our physical life. We take care to eat health-giving food, not too little, not too much, well, some of the time. We avoid those things that might have disease in them, or too much fat, or too much salt, or too much something else, or much of anything which, when fed in large quantities to mice, causes cancer in them. We try to look after ourselves. We try to live as long as possible and to help others live as long as possible. We care for our physical health. But what care do we take of our spiritual health? Do we give so much time to finding spiritual food? How much do we work for the food that endures to eternal life? And what is more important, life here on earth for a while, or life after death for eternity? What must we do? What must we do? That was the next question that the people asked Jesus. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Like many people in the world then, and before and since, they thought the way to heaven was through doing things so that they could earn eternal life. They didn't understand that the way to heaven is through God's grace, his free gift of eternal life. Well, no harm in asking, they may have thought. We're not committing ourselves by asking. So they asked, what must we do to do the work that God requires? Jesus' answer was very simple. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. They knew by speaking of the one he has sent that he meant himself. He was asking them to believe in him. That can sound very easy to us at first, as some people like to say, no problem, no problem. Just believe in Jesus. That's easy, isn't it? Or is it? The people to whom Jesus was speaking didn't think so. So they hedged. They asked him, what miraculous sign will you do, will you give us, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. In other words, they were saying, you gave us bread for one day, yesterday. But Moses gave our ancestors bread every day for 40 years. And it came straight from heaven. He didn't have any bread rolls to start with. Moses did a real miracle. What miracle will you do today to prove yourself? Then we might believe. Jesus has said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The people knew that believing in someone doesn't just mean believing that he is who he says he is. It means following him. It means acting on our belief in him. If you believe that some person's ideas are best, if they're relevant to you, you ought to put them into practice. If you believe that someone is a good leader, you ought to follow him if you need his leadership. Just so with the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're doing so. You've turned the belief in your head into following in your life. And you would not change that, even though things are not easy at times. Praise God if that's so for you. The people in our reading were still talking about bread. So Jesus went on talking about bread. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who had given you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." People didn't get the point. They replied, "Sir, from now on give us this bread." I think they had in mind a free lunch every day. But then Jesus declared explicitly, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life." We need to feed on him, meaning we need to believe in him as the Son of God, to trust him, to read his word, to pray to him, to listen to him, to find what he wants of us, and to follow him. We also need forgiveness for all we have done wrong and all we have failed to do right. Jesus died on the cross, bearing the punishment for all our wrongdoings and failures. As the prophet Isaiah wrote some 7 centuries beforehand, when he was foretelling Jesus' death on the cross, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all." Some of you may have heard of Helen House in Oxford, which was the first hospice in England open for dying children. One of my first wife's nieces worked there as a counsellor for a time. An 11-year-old boy who was there once said, "I think of God as a friend, as a guardian who loves me. It's a pity adults find it so hard to believe. They are afraid. They don't want to face God. But that's completely wrong because God says he will always forgive us." I think Jesus finds it very sad when adults lose the faith that children have. One day we will die. Feeding on this bread cannot prevent that. But Jesus has prepared a place in heaven for all who love him, all who believe in him, all who feed on him, or all who turn to him and follow him with their sins forgiven. Alleluia. We also need help to live better lives. When we turn in commitment to Jesus, we are born again, and the Holy Spirit of Jesus comes into us, helps us live more and more as Jesus wishes us to do. Sometimes we may have other needs too. We need comfort when in sorrow. We need company when we are lonely. We may need an uplift from depression. We may need assurance when in doubt. We may need wisdom to make right decisions. We may need strength to overcome problems. Our needs will be met by Jesus if we feed on him, on the bread of life. If we come to him day by day, stay close to him. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning who feels they need to turn and begin following Jesus because you've not yet done so. Or someone who feels their need to return to him because they've strayed away from him. Jesus can transform your life if you feed on him, the bread of life. When I was young, I collected butterflies. I also bred them, including ones like this one, which fed on stinging nettles. Very nutritious food, stinging nettles. But not much of a life crawling around a nettle bed. Even less when it finished growing and turned into a chrysalis, a pupa. But then one summer day, the pupa split, and out of it, a butterfly crawled. Its wings, which had been in tiny wing cases, expanded, gradually stiffened and dried. And after a few hours, it flew off, able to fly fast, beautiful, transformed. I don't believe it is too much to say that Jesus can transform a human life too. Just as he transformed the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish to something much more. Jesus can transform a life in a nettle bed to a sunlit life, eternal life, life continuing forever. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go thirsty, and he who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." We ought to be longing for forgiveness for our wrongdoing. We ought to be longing for someone to help us as we live day by day. We ought to be longing for somebody who will pray for us continually. We ought to be longing for someone who will help us with our problems. We ought to be longing for assurance that there is a place in heaven for us. And if we come to Jesus, we will never be hungry for these things. He is the bread of life. He will supply all these needs of ours and more besides. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty."